Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. This episode is supported by Osprey, my go-to luggage brand for everything since 2015, and by Oboz Footwear, my feet's ride-or-die adventure shoe brand. So stay tuned for more about my recent favorites from both of them. And of course, we're supported by Jump Adventures and our own collection of epic adventure itineraries to Patagonia and beyond. Let us send you on your dream adventure. You can find out more and browse trips at jumpadventures.com. All right, here we are today with actually one of our very own Jump Adventures alumni who is here to share her story with us about how she came to be, and I'm going to quote this straight from your Instagram profile, is a corporate dropout living beyond her wildest dreams. And I know she's now part of the Million Miler Club on United Airlines, and she's almost constantly traveling, and she hasn't even hit 50 yet, so... Ginger, we cannot wait to hear how you do it all. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Jackie. I can't wait. This is going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be fun. I feel like I want to share a little story about how we met, how we kind of came together, and which trip you were on. So why don't actually you tell us which trip you did with Jump Adventures with me?
Yeah, I did on the Torres del Paine, the deep, the O circuit. So the 9-day backpacking trip in 22.
Yeah, 2022. And I remember it was like the first morning. So I guess it was the second day of the trip after we got in. We are all at the...
Oh, God.
At the hotel. I don't know if you know what I'm going to say. I don't know. We'll see. But it was like, you know, we're all kind of still getting to know each other. And I mean, we hadn't like become the family yet. Like we had breakfast and Ginger leaves. You do know what I'm going to say. Ginger leaves. And like the bay of windows where we're sitting is just like all open to the outside. Like it's this gorgeous restaurant at the hotel. You can see like, you know, horses and all the nature outside. Like Ginger walks by the window and gives us a little side eye to see like if anybody was paying attention. And she proceeds to walk across the window frame like a chicken. Like you were like making your head go back and forth. And it was just like, that was exactly like everybody on the inside just lost it because you're just out there by yourself, like walking across the window frame. And like, that was it. That was the breaking of the ice for the whole group right there. I was like, okay, I know what kind of group this is going to be now because everybody loved it. We just like died laughing. Oh, man. So thank you for breaking the ice then.
I forgot about that until you were like, oh, in the morning. And I was like, oh, I know where she's going with that.
That is so cool because we immediately just catapulted into that. Oh, we're going to be comfortable with each other now because you just like pulled that, you know, on all of us, like, okay, we just went there. And you know what? We stayed there. That group stayed right at that level for the whole rest of the trip. So, and you brought us there. So, yeah, thank you for that. Let's go right back there. I mean, let's just jump right back into it. Oh, man.
Our Patagonia spa, remember?
Yes.
Every day was a spa adventure. Mm-hmm. It was either the exfoliation, the
right,
blowout.
The sandblasted face. The hair, right. Yeah. That was a really good trip. That was the first time that we did the O circuit as a group.
It was my first backpacking trip, too. I had done day hikes up until that point, but it was my first time backpacking.
Doing it through hikes.
It was amazing. Yeah.
And you were celebrating something big on that trip, right?
I was. So I have a smoke-free and sobriety like anniversary dates pretty close to each other. And on that trip, it's right, I was celebrating my smoke-free, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's
because
right.
My sobriety birthday is like 6 weeks after my smoke-free. But it was 8 years at that point. I have 11 years now of both, which is great. So good. Yeah.
Congratulations, yeah.
But, you know, doing things like the John Gardner Pass on whatever day that was, right? The really, really hard day. you know, and being able to do it as a non-smoker, you know, and sober and all, it just, I don't know how many times you and I probably cried just looking at the majestic beauty of Patagonia on that trip, but definitely life-changing, which you warned me about. You warned me that Patagonia would change your life. It was like the winds of Patagonia, I think, is what you said, and it did. 100% changed my life.
And okay, that's what I want to know about, because we knew, like, as your hiking companions, we knew that you were celebrating this big smoke-free anniversary, and you kept saying, I never would have been able to do this, you know, or I never imagined I could do this, like things along those lines. I remember that along the trail. And now, so that was 3 years ago. And since then, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but you had, before that trip, there was a picture you shared on your Instagram of a passport, and it said something like, I haven't needed a passport in a long time. And that blows my mind, because you are all over the place now. I don't know if that like opened the floodgates for you or what has like happened in your life since, but what I would really like to hear from you about your story is a piece that I feel like a lot of people are going to relate to, because you used to work in corporate America and you just kind of like busted down on your walls and broke all the glass ceilings, and now you're out here like doing your own thing. So like, I'm not really sure where to start, but I feel like you probably do know. Yes. So
I can take you way back to the beginning. So I will tell you that throughout my entire life, there's always been this, like, I'm a seeker, right? Like, there's always been this desire for more or to experience new or different. I didn't grow up great. I grew up in a pretty violent household in like some severe abject poverty, I would say. And so it wasn't great. And so as a kid, I always was looking for a better life, a different life. I wanted to be a truck driver when I was 15, because I could just live in my truck and I could go anywhere, right? Yeah. And there was a sense of freedom. And this has stayed with me, right, throughout all of my travel adventures, a sense of freedom and just being able to go, right? Having autonomy to not be stuck, right? And so throughout my life, my journey, I think most of my travels had been through work, right? So, you know, put myself through college, got a job in corporate. My first job, the company was based in Germany. And so I would have to go to Germany. And I was 25. I was, you know, really poor. And what did I know about travel, right? Except that I get to travel, you know, and I get to experience these great things. And I love other cultures and other people, like meeting people from different countries and trying the food and talking with people about just life, right? It's not the tourist attractions. So wherever I go, I don't look for tourist attractions. Like, people are always like, did you go see the, and they list like the top 10 things. And I'm like, no, was that there? Right.
I can relate to that.
Any city I go to, I look for the vegan cafe that has smoothies. And I walk there because they tend to be in some really unique neighborhoods. And you have to meander through like a whole city to get there, right? And then you just have like a journey in and of itself. But anyway, so most of my travel had been for work. I set up distribution channels for a division of a corporate company in Latin America when I was 34, I think. And I remember being horrified when my boss was like, well, you're getting Latin America. And I was like, I don't even speak Spanish. Mm. Like, why are you sending me there? But what a life changer, right? I was in Brazil a lot. Brazil is probably my favorite South American country. The people, the culture, the food, everything's so warm and vibrant, you know? And there's something about a culture, if they've had to struggle, that really speaks to my soul, right? Like, when people have really had to make it, there's something there. And so, you know, I would sit at a cafe in Sao Paulo where I was a regular because I was there all the time. And I would reflect back on my childhood. And I would just be like, I can't believe that, like, this is my life now, yeah, right? That I get so cool to be here. And so that is, like, permeated through, you know, my life. I'll say, after Patagonia, I came home and I decided to sell my house and quit my corporate job.
That's big.
Well,
that's
you
huge.
It's your fault.
It's my fault. Hey, I will take it. I like that. Well, what happened next? Like, wow. Okay. Keep going.
What happened next was, I had always had cats and my cats had passed away. And so it kind of freed up, you know, an anchor point for me where I could just go. I summited Kilimanjaro as a fundraiser hike with a group of biotech executives. And I did it to network to get consulting clients, which is a hilarious story.
That's amazing.
Like, yeah. But much like Patagonia, where I'll have moments of gratitude, right? Or wow, of like, I can't believe I get to be here, right? Because when you've gone through, and everyone does, everyone has their own version of struggles and hardship in transformation and overcoming life, right? Everyone has their own share of life. I walk through life now with such immense gratitude. I'm on the top of Kilimanjaro. Statistically speaking, I was an alcoholic, drug addict, smoker who came from like a really violent house. There's no way that I should be on top of that mountain, right? Like as like a corporate dropout, like who had enough money to take some time off, right? Like statistically speaking, I should be dead. And that's just statistics, right?
Yeah, right.
So like when I'm on top of mountains or like the John Gardner Pass or Kilimanjaro or and countless other mountains that I've climbed since then, like, it's just the gratitude, the sheer, like, I get to be here. Like, wow. Like, I'm going to cry just thinking about it because it's
like. You're making
like,
me want to cry thinking about it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it really is these moments of gratitude that take me to some crazy places because I'm like, what's there? What's here? And every day that I'm in those places, even if the days suck, because not every travel day is great, it's still like, what a cool experience that I get to like figure out what I like and what I don't like and what resonates with my soul.
You've created a path for yourself to be able to do that. And you've taken care of yourself along the way to be able to have those kind of rewards. I'm taken back to... Because what you were just saying was like opening, like it was like reopening that moment when we, you and I specifically, I think we may have been holding hands when we summited John Gardner Pass together the first time. Were we holding hands? I don't know. But I just remember being with you and we both were crying and like we had gotten up at probably 5:30 in the morning.
It was a rough morning.
Yeah. And, climbed up this mountain. This was the first time I had done it too. So we didn't know what was on the other. We just didn't know. And it had been, the weather was iffy. So we get up there and all of a sudden sunshine and a glacier, like for 42 kilometers, as far as you can see, that then opened up into the Southern Patagonian ice field. Mm-hmm. It was, I mean, I was getting chills just hearing you say that because I just went back to that place and I love that. I think both of us in that moment were just like, what is this? Where are we? Mm-hmm. And how cool that we get to be there and experience that.
That was a moment, right? Because we definitely were like, we were both like, like just looking around, definitely crying. And I described that moment to friends like, so hiking up was hard. You know, we went through, I think, a few different terrains, right? It was like this forest in the dark, muddy, slippery. And then we hit like, you know, bald kind of rock face, like scree, right? Like you would in, you know, above tree line. And I remember, I don't know if I might have shared this with you too, but I had moments of doubt. I have a lot of self-doubt on hikes, right? I'm not the fastest. I am a proud badge carrier of the Out of Breath Hiking Society. But I still do it.
But you're there, yeah.
And I was having a lot of self-doubt talk in my head that day. And I was like, Ginger, stop. And I started every step. The mantra that went through my head for a good chunk of that hike was the only limits I have in life are the ones I impose on myself. Every step to get myself up the mountain. And then we got up there and I was just like, oh my God. Like the Southern Patagonian ice field is laid out for all to see, right? Just at your feet. You're just like, how is this real?
I mean, and to paint that picture and to see it in real life and then be able to hike for miles along that glacier on the way down. So, okay. And then we cross a suspension bridge. Enter tears of a different kind.
I'm so glad you were more afraid than me. That's all I have to say.
I do believe that was the second time that day we held hands and cried together.
I was like our motivational speaker as we walked across the bridges.
Gosh, yeah.
Let's just talk three bridges. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember, but before the trip, I emailed you asking you about the bridges. And because I read that and I almost didn't go because of the bridges, but I was like, I won't let my fears stop me from doing things that I really want to do. And so I practiced at a ropes course nearby. I base in San Francisco when I'm not traveling. And I went and I did two sessions at a ropes course to get comfortable enough to be able to walk across those suspension bridges.
Wow, good for you. I didn't know that. I didn't know that you practiced.
Yeah. I still didn't like it, but I did it.
No, I know. I've done it a couple times now. And I actually will say that it's better on the second round. But I had so much anxiety on the second round that I started crying like before I could even see the bridge. I was like, damn it. Like, I thought I was getting better at this, but like, I was losing it again, all over again. And I thought of you. Where's Ginger? This time Christian held my hand and took me across. Yeah. But
if we talk about that moment, though, right? So the two of us scared to death, see the bridge, and we're like, okay, we'll go together. Mm-hmm. And I think you were, I forget who was in front of who, but it was this affirmational talk the entire walk over this bridge and then the subsequent two other bridges to get down. There were so many bridges that day.
The first one was the worst one, though.
100%. Definitely. But we lucked out. There was no wind. If there had been wind, there would have been a lot more tears. Yeah.
Do you know that I just did a Via Ferrata on a cliffside in Norway?
Yes, I saw that and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You too live outside your comfort zone on the daily.
Yeah, I do. And I love that we, you and I right now can like celebrate that because there's so much reward to pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone and doing the thing that scares you. And it's only for you. You get that. It's different for you. We went across the same bridge together you know, our fear, but we each were able to then take that reward to the next step beyond, you know, after completing this whole trek, after doing the thing that scared us, doing the hard thing, pushing your lungs up a mountain, freaking all of that was in the same day, by the way. All of that
I know. It's insane to think about. That was a day. That was a big day. Yeah.
Really a big day.
Yeah.
If you can pull that kind of courage into a moment like that, into a decision like that, even before you went and you considered not going because of these bridges, right? That was a one-way journey. You had to cross them. Like there's no other option. But that is going to then be able to multiply and be applied in your life in so many ways. In so many ways.
Every time we do something that scares us, our world gets bigger, right? Your world will never be the same. Like you did the Via Ferrata. You never would have done that had you not done the bridges in Patagonia, right? Or you might have been frozen with fear and needed to be taken down or something, right? Like there's, you don't know. I paraglided in Interlaken, Switzerland. And my video, by the way, of that is hilarious because like the whole thing was recorded. I was swearing the whole time. I'm like, you know, my mouth is wide open like a child looking at like the sky for the first time. And I'm just thinking, I'm saying out loud, like, this is a life worth living. Like, my life will never be the same. This is what it's all about. Because I had always wanted to fly. Like, I used to always want to have those flying dreams that everyone else seemed to have, but I never did. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
And then I got to, even though I was scared to death, but I had this amazing woman pilot, and she was kick-ass. And it was, like, everything that, like, and more. right? And I don't know if like you find those, like when you do the Via Ferrata or when it doesn't need to have anything to do with heights, but like when you do things that scare you, you know that like your world just gets bigger, right?
Oh, yeah. And not just, I would say not externally, but internally. That's where you feel it. What else are you capable of? This is what I love. This is what I love so much.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what else are you capable? If I can do this, what else can I do? Right? It removes those barriers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't you also feel like if I can do this, other people can do this too?
Totally. Yeah.
Like, this is why we're inviting you. Come, you know, like, let's all do this. And like you just said, we're going to do this together. We're both scared. We're going to do it together. You're going to make it.
100%. Yeah. And like, so when people are like, oh, like, you know, people will ask, like, how do you travel? I wish I could travel. I'm like, then just travel. Just do it.
We all have our strengths, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and we all have those muscles that you create the muscle memory. The first step is always hard. I mean, I remember, well, I was still excited for it, but like, it's not like I knew what I was doing when I was 18 and packed two of the biggest suitcases I've ever seen to move. I mean, I was moving for a year, but like to move to Costa Rica and, you know, figure out, learn the ropes of travel on my own down there. I mean, I remember that. That was before I knew, before I was an expert, but you do it anyway, like that first step. And then it just becomes momentum. It just becomes momentum after that. And even the things that you're scared of when that happens, like you realize that most of the time, like your worst fear never even comes to pass. It doesn't happen. Most of the fears, most of the things you were concerned about at all don't happen. Like it's mostly a positive experience that you end up getting, which I mean, thankfully, right?
I would agree. Like one of my first big trips was 2006 or 2007 to China. Like, for vacation with my cousin. And this is pre-smartphone, pre any type of translate app, you know, and we were on budget. So we did hostels, right? And overnight ferries. And, you know, we laughed probably the whole trip because you can't understand people. You're miming. My cousin like clucked like a chicken and mooed like a cow to try to figure out like what meat things were. Like, we got forked in a restaurant, you know, I mean, just like the things that like you remember, right? Like, cause you're just like, oh my God, like, what are we doing? But we were safe, right? Like your situational awareness, you know, you're just, you know, you're conscious of things, but you know, but it's not a scary world unless you make it scary, I think.
I totally agree. Okay, let's jump to when you said, this is what I'm curious about. Were you working in your corporate job before Patagonia?
Yes.
Okay. So that was after that that you said you like quit, you like blew your life up and did cool things. What's that look like?
blowing up one's life. What does that look like?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Tell us how you did yours.
Yeah.
What happened? Because I would love to know, like, how is it that you're doing what you're doing now? You know, like you had a thing. You got to a place where you could take this trip and then everything changed. So what was it?
Yeah. So I had an amazing career, right? Like I love the career that I've had and continue to have as a result I'm a consultant now. So we'll get to that. But the career I had, I loved, you know, I adored it. I was in like robotics. Like I've like my LinkedIn profile is like robot princess, right? Like I am such a nerd when it comes to these things. And so, you know, I had a fantastic career and I just got burnt out and I was exhausted. I did mergers and acquisitions integrations for the last chunk of my career in corporate, and it's exhausting. It's emotionally taxing. It's draining. And I was just feeling empty, right? And like a lot of other people, 2020 wasn't great for me. I had a couple losses. Like I lost two of my cats and my mom in quick succession. And was just looking for purpose, right? Like, I remember when my mom was passing in the hospital and my uncle was there and asked me if I was going to be okay. And literally one cat was in August, another was October, my mom was November. And he looked at me and said, are you going to be okay? And I said, I'm going to be just a little weirder on the other side of all of this, right? Because
like
you know
answer.
You're going to be different,
yeah.
Right? Like, there's no way that you're not, but you just don't know how. And so I, you know, was trying to figure out, you know, do I fit in corporate? Do I not? I don't, right? I mean, I just don't, right? I'm the person who moved her head like a chicken outside the window.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
That doesn't usually work in corporate, right? Like, yeah. It's not like I am an acquired taste for most, right? And so I knew, so there was a role open. It was an executive level role. I really wanted it, but I figured I wouldn't get it. I put my name in the hat for it, so I applied. But I was like, I'm not going to get it. And do I really want to go through the process if I know I'm not going to get it? Do I really want to be an executive in corporate, right? Like, what does that mean? I would have to fundamentally change who I was. And am I okay with that? Your trip came up. I saw it, like, it was during COVID. So I think you had to push the dates. And then so, like, some spots opened up and I had been eyeing your trip. And I was like, okay, if you decide to not go for this role, you can go on the trip, right? And so I sat with it, whatever. I emailed the hiring manager and said, you know, hey, I'm going to withdraw. The minute I hit send, I logged onto your site and signed up for your trip.
I love it.
So like,
you are my people.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, mm-hmm. it was so freeing. And then I got home and I think what Patagonia had done. So I had done a lot of solo travel. Right. I had done not a lot, but a good amount of travel, right, leading up to that. A lot of it was tied to work. I had done a couple road trips by myself, right? But as you said, Patagonia will change your life, right? It's like the winds of change, right? Mm-hmm. And I got home and things just didn't feel like they fit anymore. You know, as transformational trips will do to you, as I've experienced over the past few years, they'll catapult your life, right? Or be the catalyst for change. And this was. I wasn't super stoked. I had just done a beautiful remodel on a townhouse that I had owned. And the complex had some pest issues that I don't particularly agree or want to deal with, right? And I was like, you know what? I don't want to be here. I'm just going to sell it. And my agent was like, you literally just bought it. I was like, I don't care. I'm selling it. And when I decided to sell it, I was like, oh, well, I won't have a mortgage. Mm-hmm. I have one cat. Let me just live a simpler life. Like, I can quit work now. Right. Because I had been wanting to quit for probably 2 or 3 years. And I had been taught through my sobriety journey, right, and mentors and things like that, and through therapy to, like, not make rash decisions, right, to think things through. And so I called a mentor and she was like, you've been wanting to do this for 2 years. Just do it. And giving my notice that corporate was without. So I grew up very poor, right, like food stamps, no electricity at times, no heat, right? So to feel comfortable quitting a very lucrative job, knowing that the universe will catch me, was like mind blowing for myself. But this is like courage, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, courage to do the things that scare us, knowing that things will work out. Like, I can always get a job, but I needed to speak to my soul. And so I did it. So I gave notice, I quit. And I pretty much have not stopped traveling since. Now, I do consult, right? So, I mean, I work about 20 hours a week. Sometimes it's a little more, sometimes it's a little less. But it allows me the flexibility to work from where I want to most of the time. There'll be times I need to be on site and stuff. But, you know, I consulted from a van in Norway for like 3 weeks in the summer of 23. Wow. It was probably my favorite trip ever, right? And so... but it gives me the freedom to be me.
We'll come right back to that. But first, let's thank the brands that support our show.
Osprey has been my go-to luggage for everything since 2015. My new favorite item to add to my list of trusty travel luggage is the Transporter Rolling Duffel 40 that I recently took as a carry-on all over Europe for 6 weeks on 13 flights, including a few of those budget airlines with strict rules, and it fit in the overhead bin on all of them. No lost luggage worries here. And with its high chassis, it held up beautifully on the cobblestone streets of France, dirt, rocks, ferries, and van transfers in the fjords of Norway, and even sandy surfaces on the coasts of Greece and Albania. 80% of Osprey's entire product line are certified Blue Sign products, and 100% are backed by their almighty guarantee. They will repair or replace any product for the life of the product. We are proud to support each other both on and off the podcast, and you can find out more at osprey.com. Oboz Footwear is the maker of my feet's number one favorite adventure shoe, the Sawtooth X Low. I know that footwear is as personal and particular as our own feet, but if my feet could talk, they'd scream at you to go try a pair of these on, because slipping them on is like taking my feet to a cloud massage instead of a 15-mile hike. I don't make the rules, I'm just here for the ride. Aside from comfort and performance, one of my favorite things about Oboz Footwear is their commitment to sustainability. Not only are they a certified B Corp, but every pair of footwear sold helps plant trees across the world. Check them out for yourself and find out more at obozfootwear.com/lovehiking. And thank you, wherever you are, for listening to the show and supporting these brands that help make it possible.
How have you filled up your life with that? Like, what's it look like now?
Yeah, so I consult doing things that I love, and I don't have to do things I don't love. I get to choose the clients that, so I have my own consulting company, so I don't work for a firm. And I focus working with good people, helping them make their companies better, right? And so when I'm not doing that, I'm out traveling. A mentor once said to me that you haven't actually seen a country or visited a country unless you've hiked it. And I've taken that to heart. And I've pretty much hiked in every country probably since I went to Patagonia with you that I've visited. And it's true. Like I did 2 summers in Europe. I tried to spend a month in each country just to not be constantly jumping around, partly because I wanted to see if there was a country I wanted to live in or anything, right? And like kind of sort things out that way, and give myself an opportunity to just be. And who am I when I go to other countries? You know, who shows up?
That's a whole other like conversation, actually, because that's a really cool topic too.
Like who we are. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and how do you show up? Like, do you think that's different from before? Like,
oh, totally. I hope so. Right? Like,
yeah.
I hope so. Right. I mean, I am painfully self-aware. And so I feel like each time I'm in a new country or a new place or, a new experience, even if I think I touched on this earlier, even if I don't like it, I sit with it because I'm like, well, why don't I like it? What is it about it? Right? Like the second summer, so last summer when I was traveling through Europe, it didn't click. Like, I kept trying to figure out why. I was following the same formula as the year before, and none of the places I went to just worked for me. I like to say it was a crispy summer because I just wasn't settled in my own skin. And it was an interesting experience to come home after and be like, oh, you're just tired, right? And so it was like the constant movement was just a little, like, I was just a little spent. And I almost did like tick box things last summer instead of like I went to places where people were like, oh, you should go here.
Yeah. Instead of like, where do I want to go? Where's the wind blowing today? Like, kind of. Do you normally, when you travel, do you normally leave it really open?
Yeah. I mean, I have a framework, right? Yeah. Like, I have ideas. I've learned to buy refundable tickets and stuff because I do change my mind a lot.
Yep. Refundable, changeable. There's so much of that these days that there's no reason not to.
Exactly.
Like, you should always have a ticket that you can easily change because you never know what's going to happen.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, things happen, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel like the fun of travel is, well, okay, that's a great part of like how you change, right? When I first started traveling, if a flight got canceled or delayed, oh my God, right? The world was over and how dare they? To like, fast forward, I just got back from the Canadian Arctic, from this amazing Arctic safari. And I had to, it was a charter flight from Yellowknife, but my flight from Yellowknife back home, the first leg got canceled. And so I joke, I got a bonus day in Yellowknife, right? Because then, and I was just like, oh, whatever, you know, versus how I would have been years ago. Because then I was like, well, you know, I'll just do laundry here, just like I would have done at home, but I'll just get all that stuff done here instead.
Take the voucher, go to the hotel, get a good meal, go to bed early, maybe get some sleep. You
know? Yeah. A trip for some, let me just lay in bed and like binge watch TV. Like, who cares?
Yeah. Yep. I've been delayed overnight in multiple places I've tried to come back from in the last year or two. And it's just like, it's just par for the course. Like it's, yep. Maybe you're going to miss something that you thought you were going to be home for, but like, there's nothing you can do about it anyway. So go with the flow and fix your ticket and get the first Uber out of there, out of the
exactly.
airport.
Yeah, get exactly. It's like, yeah. Oh, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's funny because I've definitely grown a lot in that area too. I think that's a big struggle point for people though, when they're not used to traveling so much, like when that does happen, it is stressful, you know, it is hard. But I mean, stuff like that happens at home too. It not in the form of a canceled flight, but like inconveniences happen. And so I guess going with the flow is one of the things that you kind of have to learn in travel. Definitely.
It just makes your insides easier, like, you know, yeah. And it makes you kinder to the people around you too.
How often then? So you still have a place in San Francisco. How often are you there versus like traveling? Because it seems like you're traveling all the time, but it also could be that you're just, you know, sharing things when you're traveling, which we often do.
So when I got home last August, it was the first time in a few years that I had signed a lease longer than 6 months. But so I was pretty nomadic, I would say, from December of 22 up until August of 24. I had like a 6 month lease, right? But even when I had the 6 month lease, I was gone probably once a month. And even now, like a friend of mine was trying to get together with me in San Francisco, and I'm like, I'm really sorry, but I'm not going to be home, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, are you just traveling all the time? And I counted it up, and over this summer, I've been in San Francisco for I think 3 weeks.
That's not very much.
No, like I probably shouldn't have an apartment, but you know, it's nice to come back sometimes to your own, like,
oh yeah,
you know, space.
Oh yeah. I am loving that.
I bet.
Having a home base, there's something just, I feel like, innately human that we need. Like, we kind of need a place. It's that, I've talked about this on the show before, but it's that bottom level of the pyramid of Maslow's hierarchy of human needs, is like having that shelter, safety, you know, like, and if you have that taken care of, it's one less thing you have to worry about. If you do not have that taken care of, it's an everyday stressor, and it's a big one. Even if it's like you're on the road and you got to book a place, or maybe even know where you're going next, it's that can weigh on you compounded, you know, as the time goes.
Yeah, because you know, I got to pack up, I got to move, I've got to do this. And it's probably why I was so tired last summer, because I didn't stay in one place for 3 weeks. I kind of hopped around weekly. And that's exhausting, right? You're just like, can I just sit still for a minute?
And yet you're choosing this life. You're like choosing this. You're setting yourself up for this. But it's lovely. So, I don't know, where have you gotten to take yourself, and where do you have coming up that you're excited about?
So I have to tell you, like people always say, what's your favorite place, right? And I have favorite experiences, which I'm in love with Arctic summers, I have determined. Like, there's just something about me in the, you know, Arctic Circle in the summer times that just like lights up my soul.
To be able to even say that means you've been more than once during the summertime, you know, like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can't say that.
Well, Norway, right? So I did a camper van trip in Norway, which is probably one of my favorite road trips I've ever done. I flew into Tromso and I made it a point to land the day before solstice because I wanted to be there and do like a solstice hike, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I picked up a camper van and I spent 2.5 weeks camping and hiking all down the fjords down to Oslo. And like, I found myself in Norway. I had had a pretty challenging like couple months leading up to Norway. And it was, there's something beautiful and special about Northern Norway, like above the Arctic Circle, that like, if you've I know you've been to Norway, so you know the majesty of their fjords, but like, there's just something about like, it just right sizes you and grounds you in kind of like the John Gardner Pass moment. It's these like, holy crap, like this exists and I get to see it, mm-hmm. right? And I get to be a part of it. And every time in Norway, I'd hike and I'd like look at the mountains. There's like these melt, like the snow melts and there's like a smiley face in the mountain.
Like shapes of snow that are left
like
up
the
there.
Like the mouth. Because like I have some videos and I'm like recording for a friend and I'm like, oh, look, it's like me. Oh, it's so effing beautiful. I can't believe this. Oh, look, there's a smiley face.
Norway.
Yeah, Norway. So Norway, above the Arctic Circle, summers, magical. I did a backpacking trip in the country of Georgia this summer, which was just spectacular. It looks like the Swiss Alps, but without the people and the price tag. And the food is some of the best food I've probably ever had.
I'm supposed to go there next summer.
You need to.
Maybe I need your notes.
Yes, 100%. The backpacking trip was great. Village to village, Mestia to Ushkuli, up in like the north. It just was fantastic. Yeah, absolutely stunning. And then I did a Canadian Arctic safari / yoga retreat that I just got back from. That was magical. I sea kayaked with beluga whales, which was just amazing. But I don't have anything planned per se. I found a great way to spend my holidays last year in December. I volunteered in an animal sanctuary in Zimbabwe for 2 weeks over Christmas and New Year. And I'm actually going back this Christmas and New Year to volunteer again. Yeah. I don't particularly love the holidays, and I finally figured out that I just need to get out of self and do something else. Mm-hmm. And it was probably my favorite Christmas and New Year's I've ever had.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah, I'm doing that, and then I'm going to do the Manaslu Trek in Nepal next year. So I just signed up to do that for next October. But,
and yeah. I'm sure you'll fill in some other things before you get there. Yeah,
of course.
Do you like to book things last minute sometimes? Like, oh, let's go do this, or
yeah, a little bit. Like, I did book a last minute trip to Munich over Thanksgiving because I wanted soft pretzels and I cannot eat gluten here in the U.S. And so flew to Germany for pretzels.
Oh my God. I love this so much. That's so great. Oh, yum.
So yes.
I love Munich, man. I want to live there and learn German at some point.
German's a great language, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's my next one. And I've been saying it for so long, and I need to just go immerse and actually stay for a while because I'm in and out of there all the time.
Yeah. I haven't spent enough time in Germany since I like was there for work trips in, you know, almost 25 years ago now at this point. Munich was a 3-day carb fest.
That's so funny. That is so funny. I love it. I love that you're in a place where you can be like, I'm craving a soft pretzel. Let's go to Germany. That's so great.
Yeah.
Goals.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah. This year or two, I think I'm going to try and spend at least a month back in Tromso, like back in Norway. Mm-hmm. I've been so afraid, and I don't know if you ever experienced this, but I've been afraid to go back because of how magical it was. And I'm like, but I can't get it out of my head. Like, it's in my system, probably like Patagonia was for you, right? Like, I just can't, mm-hmm. Get it out of my system. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna throw caution to the wind and I'm gonna try going back.
You know what? I'm gonna see you on that and share that I'm also going, I'm dealing with the same thing right now because New Zealand struck me. I mean, I don't even know how to describe. I haven't felt that way about a place since the first time I went to Chile 10 years ago. And we all know what happened there. I mean, I've been going back there for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And I just went to New Zealand for the first time. And I mean, I feel like I just entered a whole new world. You know, it's like, what is this place? And what else is there for me? And I had such a good experience that I am a little, I've thought about that. Like, is that going to be weird? But let's do something right now, because here's some historical, not advice, but like, it's like not advice. It's experience that coming from Patagonia and having done this over and over and over and over again in Patagonia, I can still say 10 years later that there is something about that place that simply lives within me and makes this part of me come alive. No two times have ever been the same.
Mm.
And no time has ever been like not worth going. You know, like every single one has been soul moving in some way.
Yeah.
It's different. It's like you experience different things, but like even with the W circuit or the O circuit, trails that I have done multiple times, not one time are you going to have the same experience, even if you're in the same place. I mean, think about the weather alone. You know, like it's not going to be the same every day. You're going to have different experiences because of the weather, because of the people that you're around, because of who you are at the time. You know, I mean, like as we change and evolve and grow, I think our surroundings kind of reciprocate that with us. Yeah. And so I think there's always something to be learned, to be shared with these places that just speak to us. And it's up to us to go and find out what that is.
Oh, I love that. I mean, and you're right. I love that. It just gives a different perspective to not being scared. Or I guess we talk about courage. We've talked about courage and everything else like that, like this whole conversation. And so I guess we just need the courage to go back to the places that speak to our soul.
Yeah. And see what's waiting, because there's definitely something. Every time. Oh, I'm so excited. I am so excited to go back to New Zealand.
Yeah. When are you going? Do you have it set yet?
Also for the holidays. I will leave before the holidays, I think. Well, I'm saying it out loud on air now, but I mean, I don't know. The idea is to leave at the end of the year and not come back for a little while.
Good for you.
So, yeah. Give myself some time.
Yeah. Just to experience it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, because like last time I was there, I did the same trip back to back, which I loved. And I want to do that again. I mean, it was a gorgeous experience both times. And I fell in love with the places that we were in. And of course, I want to go back. But there's so much more to be explored. And I don't know, I feel a massive draw to that place. So even though I will be going alone, you know, and like setting some things up on my own, it's definitely going to be a different experience. But there's something so beautiful also to be said about being in a place by yourself instead of with other people, because instead of having that other person to then share half of your thoughts with you, I mean, it's conversation, it's decisions. I mean, it's half of everything, right? You have essentially a mirror. It's like, oh, if it's me again, you know, like, what am I going to do now? Where are we going to go next? And it's a wholly different experience. And so
solo travel is my favorite. Like, I love traveling with people because I get to meet like-minded souls. Solo travel, though, there's
powerful.
Nothing better.
It's powerful.
Yeah. And the people that you meet when you're solo are just different. Like when you're out talking with folk and everything. Do we have time for a quick, fun Norway story?
Definitely. Always.
Okay. So Norway, you think you're going to be able to, I got a camper van and I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to eat nothing but fresh fish in this camper van, right? I mean, like all this fresh fish. Well, you know, spoiler, they usually export everything, and what you get, like you can get, is like dried fish. But I didn't know, and I'm stopping at these little, like all along the coast, or like all the little fjords and the little islands. Each place has like its own little store, right? Each village has its own little grocery store, and so I would go in every day hunting for fresh fish and not finding any. And so I get to one, and I ask at the store where I can find fresh fish, and she was like, "Hold on." There's usually one person in the stores that speak English, because where I was, like, definitely no English. And she goes and asks her dad. He comes out. He's like, "Go meet me at the docks after my lunch." And I'm like, first of all, where are the docks? Second of all, like, okay, like, who are you, right? Like, what are we doing? And so I think I figure out where the docks are. So I park my van where I think they are, and I see him drive down. And he parks, and then he kind of disappears into a building. So I'm like running down this hill, and I like go into this building. Jackie, it is a empty fish processing warehouse. So no one else is in there. And I step foot into this warehouse, and I'm by myself. And I'm looking around, and I hear this voice in the ethers that said, "Follow me in here." And I look around and I go, "Oh, this is how I die. Okay, I get it now." Right. But I follow him, of course, right? As one does. And I'm thinking, you know, Mad Max style, I'm going to be up on a hook, right? All these things. Yeah. And I walk in, and he's like, "I'm over here." And I'm like, okay. And I get there, and he's got a bin. And he's like, "What do you want?" And I'm like, "What do you mean, what do you want?" Right. And he's like, "Well, I have a little bit of everything left over that the guys didn't process." He's like, "I've got catfish, I've got halibut, I've got cod." And I'm like, "Oh, halibut." Well, he pulled out, like, my camera, like, this halibut that's got to be, I don't know, 6 feet wide, long. And in my head, I'm like, I have no idea how to fillet a fish. I'll use YouTube. I'm sure I can figure it out, right? All of this is going through my head. I just wanted a piece of fish, right? But I'm like, I'll sort it out. I'll figure it out. And I saw the halibut, and I went, "Oh, no, no, no. It's just me. What about the cod?" Right? Because I'm like, what am I going to do with all of this? And he's like, "Oh, it's just you." And I was like, shoot, I probably shouldn't have told him that. And and I was like, "The cod is great." And so he gets the cod. It's a much more reasonable size. He proceeds to debone it, fillet it, the whole thing for me, cuts it up into everything, puts it in a bag, and hands it to me. And I'm like, "Well, okay, how much do I owe you?" And he's like, "No, it's a gift from me to you."
Stop it.
Yeah, I swear to God. And so if Bard is out there, I think he owns the plant and probably owns half the town. But I had the best meals for, you know, a few days off of that one experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Probably one of my favorite, like, travel stories that I've had to date.
I love that. And, you know, it's to be said about solo travel, you put yourself out there more because, well, you kind of have to. I mean, if you want to speak to another human, you know, at least. And so you find yourself in these situations a lot, like every day, multiple times sometimes, because you're open to it. Whereas, I mean, it's not like you're necessarily trying to be closed off when you're with people, but when you are alone, you're so much more open to, like, receiving experiences as they show up for you that they wouldn't show up in the same way when you're with a group or even with a person. Like, not at all. It's so different.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I cannot wait for your New Zealand trip. If you're going to be solo, I think there's just so much growth that comes from that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I already bought a ticket to see Ed Sheeran in January in Christchurch. So
I love
definitely
it.
Going to that. I just saw him in France and I saw that he had concerts in Christchurch. I'm like, well, it's the first official plan I have for New Zealand. I'm going to see Ed Sheeran. So we're doing this thing.
So good.
Anyway. Okay. I have kept you long enough, but I would like to just ask you any lasting kind of, you have such a cool experience. You've come from a place, you've had a thing, a transitionary transformation. You've made some good decisions. You've changed your entire life. You're living beyond your wildest dreams now.
Yeah.
What kind of advice would you give to people who might want to hear advice from Ginger? Like, what is it that you'd want to say to people?
Regardless of where you are in life, like, you're not stuck. You don't have to be a million miler, you know, you don't have to travel 8 weeks, you know, out of 11, right? You don't have to do that. You can have a rich life just walking outside, making, you know, walking a different way, like just doing little things to change your perspective on life. Just like, I don't know, you're not stuck. You know, we all have freedom. We have autonomy. We have choice. And when we remember that and we shift from this life is being done to me to I get to participate in life, right? The world opens up and it changes for the better, or maybe not. I mean, life shows up wherever you go, right? But for the most part, life is great. Mm-hmm. And so I think the advice really is, or, you know, just you're not stuck. We have choice. We're not children, right? We're not stuck in our situations. We can change it no matter what it is. And so, like, go for it. You don't have to upend your whole life, right? I'm a big person of transformation. I'm always transforming. You don't have to do that, but it's yours if you want it.
And you can take whatever the next step is.
Yeah.
Get you there. I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. It's been so fun also to just like see you again and catch up with you and have this conversation. And yeah.
Oh, it's been so great. I'm so glad that you asked me, and I cannot believe I forgot about me acting like a chicken.
A chicken with really, really big courage. That's who you are.
A courageous chicken.
I love it.
So good. It was really good to see you again. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. If anybody wants to hang around on your Instagram and see where you're going, is that okay? Can we share what your handle is in case people want to follow your adventures? Yeah. Sure. What is it?
Yeah, happy to share. It's G Spice Adventures.
G Spice Adventures. All right. Cool. Okay. Well, thank you again. And safe travels and keep crushing it. You're super inspiring. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Jackie. You too.
Thank you.